going to make any reference to
David, I would love to reference it. I
don't David know Cameron gonna, fucking up here.
Mate, it's probably one of my favourite things.
Welcome to episode 9 of the Tottenham Way podcast with Dan Kilpatrick and Tom Hayward. Dan, how are you doing? Sorry, got you just as you were taking a sip of beer. Sorry.
Mate, I'm very well, thanks.
Good, yeah. Good. A third win in a row?
Yeah.
So?
All good. Can't complain about anything.
Some positivity.
We say it every week, but I want this to be a positive pod. I wanted this to be positive, and we got dragged into to sort of size and negativity after the first sort of 3 league games, and
now I'm just
I don't know if it's rose tinted specs or whatever, but now I'm feeling really optimistic.
Well, it's always easy to talk about Spurs after you win, isn't it?
Yeah,
it just changes the whole day, it changes the weekend, doesn't it? But we'll move on. We'll come on to it. Apologies first off for the pod being a day late this week.
Yeah, it's completely my fault. Sorry, Tom.
Never mind.
I lost my keys.
You did.
Is what happened. Could not find my keys, and so I couldn't leave the house. And so I had to.
And you were on a bus.
Yeah. Well, I was getting a bus to London, and couldn't really get into the house without keys.
No worries. No worries at all.
Sorry, man.
We're a day late. We've done it worse than this before. We used to record on a Thursday, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
those were the old days. The old unprofessional days.
Episode 1 and 2 days.
Yeah, the old MLS All-Stars games episodes. That seems like a long time ago. It seems like a long time ago that we were talking about Dyer in midfield being a message to Levy, but it seems to be working out quite nicely, doesn't it? As we saw, we've seen it pretty much all week since Sunderland through to Carabag and Palace on Sunday.
Yeah, I really like Dyer there. I mean, I know a lot of people are saying that he looks like a centre-half playing in defensive midfield, and I get that, and a lot of people are saying he's not quite good enough on the ball to be playing there, and I get that as well, but I feel like 3 clean sheets is no coincidence.
Yeah.
That we've actually got a midfielder in there whose speciality is defending, and whose first thought is to either make a tackle, make a block, or do something sort of defendery.
Yeah.
I think it's no coincidence that we look better at the back. I think he will end up at centre half. I think he's going to end up playing there.
Yeah.
But it's not dissimilar to what King did. He spent a season, or at least half a season, when Pleat was, I think it was when Pleat was there, interim boss.
Yeah, we had
Pleat definitely played in there.
Yeah, we played 3-5-2 for a bit, and King was part of the
three. Yeah, that was Hoddle, wasn't it?
Yeah, and like Simon Davis and I don't know.
Oh, Digger.
Yeah,
he was great.
I loved Simon Davis. He was one of my favourite players.
I think Dyer will eventually move back, and some people are saying he needs to be specialising in a position. He spent a lot of time at right back. I don't see that as a problem. I think it can only benefit his game.
At 21,
At 21, I think it can only benefit his game to be playing different positions, to be playing in midfield.
He got a 5-year contract, didn't he?
Yeah.
So we're clearly, I mean, you know, that sort of thing can mean one thing or another at Tottenham. It can mean we get a bigger transfer fee, or it means we're actually building something for the future. But he was in that wave of Mason and Kane.
He was this season, last month, it was quite recent,
yeah, wasn't it? Yeah,
it was really
well, I suppose you can still batch it all together.
Yeah,
right?
it's all part of the same policy.
Yeah, that core, and you think in a season, not even one and a half yet, but he's played in 3 different positions where at times he's excelled in every single one of them. He has had dips in everywhere he's played because he is young, but 3 different positions in just over a year. And specifically this season, 7 games he's played. He's played in every single game, hasn't he, so far?
Yeah, he's played in every single game.
And
he's had 4 partners.
Yeah, exactly. So
he's
played with Mason,
Bentaleb, Carroll, and now Ali.
Yeah.
And the one thing I thought the other day was that one of his best attributes, remember how good he is at crossing?
Mm.
And it's like, he doesn't do that anymore because he's playing in defensive centre midfield.
Mm.
But like he was so good when he got in those wide areas, and that ball for Kane at Everton was just like,
yeah, it
was that had been coming, hadn't it? He'd been putting in balls like that for sort of a couple of months.
Yeah,
I
think he got another one against Sunderland, or he put the ball through for Chadley. Do you remember?
Your two assists against Southampton.
Southampton.
He got quite a few assists.
He's a technically really good player, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, basically we love the man.
Yeah, he could. I think I said a lot in the summer about Bentaleb being a future captain and things, and I don't really know what's happened with him. I know he's injured at the moment, but he was clearly only hovering around the first team. But Dyer seems to be, at the moment, first name on the team sheet, isn't he? Even in Europe, which I thought was a good decision to play in there again against Karabag, because it's a very low-pressure game. I know they made it tighter than it probably needed to be, but it was quite a low-pressure game, and he does need... He needs as many minutes as possible.
Yeah.
I thought it was a risk.
When he went down, down injured, I mean, if that had been a serious injury,
yeah.
I've just seen the team news and Mason's still out for Arsenal.
Right.
Dembele's still out for Arsenal. Bentaleb's still out for Arsenal. So we need. He's that important now. He is the first name of the team sheet.
True. I think that an injury can kind of happen at any time though.
Happen in training.
We've left ourselves a little bit short in that area, but he's certainly plugging... Well, he's doing more than plugging a gap, really, isn't he? But match winner, Kyung-Min Son.
Are we talking about Sun, or are we talking about both, really, isn't it?
I mean, it's quite pleasing that Son was played up front, got a couple of goals, you know, regardless of the competition and the opponents. Scoring a couple of goals on your home debut in a position that isn't strictly... He doesn't really have one, but it's not his first choice, I imagine. It's certainly not Pochettino's first choice for where he wants to play him.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. I thought the first goal was ludicrously defended. Like, how a corner can bounce, or a cross can bounce twice, or whatever, before it reaches the 6-yard box.
It sort of looked like the keeper had maybe made a call, like, push out, leave him to me if the ball's in that... in this pocket of space, then it's my ball, and then
it wasn't.
The ball was in the wrong space, and it wasn't his ball. It was
It was a bit of a nonsense all round, really. It's just a nice, it's obviously nice to get a nice tap in. Second goal was really nicely done with Ali.
Great goal.
And Ali did that a lot against Carabao. He ran beyond the front man, and you just think we've talked about Dyer, we talked about Ali again in the first couple of podcasts.
It would be good to talk about. Because Ali and Son both played big parts against Karabag and Palace.
Yeah.
And they both played different positions in both games.
Yeah.
And the thing... one of the things that I'm most optimistic about... I mean, there's bigger tests ahead for Son as a striker. If he's going to be... If he's the Kane alternative and not Ndiaye and not Chadli, God forbid, then there are definitely bigger tests ahead. But... What I really liked about Son's goals against Karabag and Sunderland was his two goals against Karabag were kind of number nine goals, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That it was like he found a pocket of space in the box, he was clever with his movement, he was clever with his positioning, and he sort of finished quite nicely. Yeah. They were the kind of goals, actually, that Kane scored last year. I mean, his big goals against Chelsea and Arsenal are the ones we remember, but he scored a lot of goals where he was just in the right place from a corner. Mm. The first one against Arsenal springs to mind.
Yeah, back post.
And it was Son's goals in the Europa League was sort of like that.
Yeah.
And then his goal against Sunderland was the kind of goal we all were hoping Son, the winger, was going to score, which was like driving... running at pace, driving at defender, and sort of shooting with either foot.
Yeah,
it was quality to see that. It was almost like he has got these two sides to his game. Maybe he can be a genuine alternative.
Yeah, what I wrote in the running order was it feels so much more than just new player bounce, if there's such a thing. You know, the new manager bounce.
Yeah.
Someone comes in and you get a couple of results. It doesn't feel like that with Son. It feels like he is an international class player playing at what is probably his level at the moment. You know, he's probably a Champions League player, but so is players like Christian Eriksen, people, Lloris and Vertonghen and that. it's a competitive league, the Premier League, so it's hard, much harder to reach those sort of levels, as we found out. But he just looks... the goal, like I say, the goal against Palace was the sort of goal that we haven't scored in, well, since Bale was around. There was, we won the ball back on our own penalty box.
Yeah.
Within two touches, we were in the halfway line, and then Eriksen's first touch was to let it run across his body and then put Son in. And Son just drove at them, and I think Kane and Lamella were catching up to him, so you just feel like...
Was Lamella, because he was the one who won the ball on the edge of the box.
I'm pretty sure, it might have been Ali. There was someone that was running...
No, I mean, it might have been Lamella, because he did really well.
Yeah.
And he had a good game, he had a really good game.
He did. He very much like Carabag, the first few things he did didn't quite come off. And it felt... I was at Carabag, and... you laugh because it sounds like carrier bag. Yeah. It's still not over it.
It sounds just ridiculous.
Yeah, but and it's also their chant. They kept sitting there going carrier bag for as long as the.
Do they have good away fans?
More than I thought. Is it Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan, yeah. Which isn't really Europe. It's basically Central Asia.
It's the arse end of Russia, isn't it?
Yeah. I read a good. I mean, what I'll say about Carabag is I don't think they're as bad as people were making out.
No, well, Poch said, didn't he?
Which is one thing I was going to sort of come on to.
I was going to say, sorry, before we move.
Yeah, no, go on.
Lamella got as much grief as I can remember him getting in the first half against Carabag.
At the leg?
Yeah. Couple of misplaced passes. There was a few where... he seemed to get in the way, or rather he took the ball over from a midfielder, like midfielder was coming forward, and he just kind of took the ball and ran into nowhere, and there were people so directly abusing him, and you saw him...
Where were you sitting?
Part lane lower.
Okay, that's quite... that kind of surprised me, actually.
Yeah, I think time... Well, we've said it, you know, we've dug him out a little while ago, and we thought the time was running out, and it probably still is. He needs to do a hell of a lot more of what he did against Palace to really to get himself a future.
Well, that's
really,
the thing with Lamella, he needs consistency.
Yeah, but I thought he played
I was impressed
really,
with him against Palace.
He got better and better in both games, which is what I was trying to say. He's,
yeah.
He started fairly slowly, poorly in fact, especially against Carabag, but then, you know, you got credit, he's still digging in. The one thing you get out of Lamella is that he still works hard if he's having a poor game. But sometimes that's to his advantage and his detriment, isn't it? Because he can look like, some things that look rushed.
Well, yeah.
A little bit hasty, but... Yeah,
I think for a lot of people, the tipping point seemed to be when he came on against Stoke. And he just had a mare. And he was... I was at that game and he was working really hard. And I was in the shelf and he came on the right wing, so he was running.
Yeah.
He was just sort of below me. And you could see him working really hard, but every time he lost the ball, he'd try and win it back and he gave away a foul.
Yeah.
And that was pissing people off more than if he just lost the ball and, I don't know, not giving away a foul.
Sure. Yeah.
So,
it's compiling an error, isn't it?
Yeah.
He was applauded off, wasn't he, against Palace?
Yeah, I thought... I mean, there was quite a sort of classic Lamella moment where he left the ball behind in the second half.
Mm.
You see that where he sort of dribbled and then suddenly he was about 5 yards ahead of the ball and it just sort of stopped. But I thought he was good.
It's nice that we at least
recognised it. Yeah, it is nice. Ali was great in the deeper role. Like his runs from deep, it's just... Mason does it as well, to be fair. I was about to say it's what we've been missing, but actually Mason does do that, but there's something that Ali's, he's so good on the ball.
Mm.
He's got quick feet, he can pass well, he's composed, he's skillful, he makes people for fun.
Do you know who he reminds me of? And I don't care if I get pelted.
Jermaine Genius.
Well, I tell you what,
because Ledley compared him to Jermaine Genius
today. If Jermaine Genius had reached the potential that we probably didn't allow him to reach, in my opinion, then Genius would have been excellent. Genius was tactically excellent, he had all the attributes, but he was always stuck alongside some prick like Zakora or like, he just didn't have the partners, I don't think. It was a different conversation. Yeah, but
all right.
Who I thought he looked like was Vieira. And that's a big call, and I understand why I would get pelts for it from both the Arsenal point of view and also the fact that I'm comparing him to one of the best centre mids in the Premier League.
No, I like it.
But at 19, he took on the ball. He made a tackle as well. I think it was on MacArthur. James MacArthur or James McCarthy, is that his name?
MacArthur.
He overran the ball. He turned in the centre circle and he overran it a bit, and the sky showed a bit of a slow-mo, and he turned and he saw MacArthur was coming onto the ball, and it was definitely MacArthur's ball. And you can just see it in his face of, he had a moment of, oh shit, and then he immediately decided, flat foot, go straight for the ball, and he won it back, and MacArthur rolled over about 9 times past him, just purely from the force of the tackle. But he's got a quick mind, and you just think he can make those snap decisions that a centre mid needs to be able to make.
So do you, I think he's more attacking than Vieira. I mean, Vieira used to,
yeah.
How many goals have, I mean, Ali scored 16 goals, I think, last season for MK Dons.
19 or something, I thought. Yeah, but whatever, like a fair few. Yeah.
Where do you see him playing in that? Do you see him partnering Dier and Bentaleb in the sort of double pivot two, or do you see him playing in the three with maybe Son and Eriksen?
I would.
I can't call that at the moment.
No, I don't. But I think that's good that we can't call it. I'm almost. He looks comfortable doing whatever, and then this is where new player bounce does come into it. I think he's youthful and he's been given a chance at a club that was two leagues and however many places above him last season. Clearly a very talented lad, like, don't get me wrong, but you do feel like, you know, when Bale first came to the club and he got a few games, did really well, got injured, and then he struggled after that, so you just wonder if he was to give just a bit of a setback, not wishing anything on him, of course, but you do wonder how he'd react to it. But at the moment,
There's already talk of an England call-up.
Well,
the Mail
said
yesterday he was going to...
The Mail said a lot of things yesterday.
Oh! Yeah. Good segue.
Good segue off a cliff.
Shall we talk about it?
We were going to come on to it in the list of questions.
Oh, are we? All right.
Someone references it.
All right, fine. I'm happy to come on to it later.
Yeah, so was David Cameron. He looks comfortable absolutely wherever he plays, and I think that is a sign of somebody that is eventually going to sort of explode in one area.
Eventually going to outgrow Spurs and join
Real
Madrid.
But then, so you know what? There's a I think it was Rule the Roost a couple of weeks ago, and Seb was talking about John Stones at Everton. It was just before we played Everton, and it was a really nice kind of rant that he was going on, and he was talking about how teams don't get to enjoy a footballer.
Oh yeah, you mentioned
before
this to
some
me. Yeah, yeah.
Bastard big club goes, almost, you're too good for them, come and join us.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a couple of years, Ali might be that, but I think that the fact that we've thrown him in, he's probably going to get himself 15, 20 league games this season, maybe with substitute appearances.
I think
it's
more.
It's time to start enjoying him.
Do you think?
It wouldn't surprise me if by Christmas there's a little bit, maybe a little bit of, not burnout,
well,
but it says hell of a step up. Hell of a step up.
Yeah. He sort of seems like, I mean, Dier, for instance, last season came in, we didn't know much about him, we didn't expect that much from him.
Yeah.
And he had this explosive start, ended up playing, I think, 36 games in all competitions. I think I read that today.
Yeah, sounds about
right. And he can play two positions, and Ali's sort of the same. He can play two positions, and I just feel like he's going to... I don't know, I find it hard to imagine him sort of dropping out, as it is, but you're right, there's still Bentaleb to come back. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because one of the best things about this week has been the fact that it suddenly feels like Spurs have options.
Yeah.
And that's what we absolutely didn't have last season.
Well, that's what we thought we didn't have at the start of this season.
Well, yeah, but well, I mean, last season we knew it. Last season Tottenham was a first 11, mm-hmm. and a load of players who had no future of the club, who we occasionally had to play.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was Tottenham. This season it's like, I don't know who the best two are in the defensive midfield too. In fact, I've got no idea. It's honestly, on form, it's any two from Ali, Dyer, Bentaleb, Mason.
Maybe we can tailor that central midfield to who we're playing.
Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? I guess that's what Pochettino's paid for. I mean, I'm talking sort of in general terms, I suppose. I'm talking the big games.
The
attacking three, I mean, obviously we all know Kane's our only striker, but the attacking three is another place where we talked about it last week.
Yeah, we've got seven odd.
Yeah, especially if Pritchard can find some fitness and show what he can do. Like, it's pretty hard to say.
It was interesting that this week, you know, how last week we were looking at Lamella and Townsend changing the game against Sunderland. Townsend played against Carabao, didn't... I mean, I kind of forgot he was playing, really. And it's not... I'm not having a go at him. I'm not his biggest fan, but I just don't... He didn't make any sort of impact on the game whatsoever.
Well, actually, I kind of disagree with that.
Against Carabao?
Yeah, I think he was a bit unlucky. Well, he got an assist for a start, and he... Had Lamella been second half Lamella in the first half, he probably would have got another assist because he put Lamella on a plate clean through. Do you remember?
And he did a bad touch. Did he hit the post?
No, that was second half. In the first half, Townsend kind of dinked it through.
Yeah,
and Lamella was clean through, and he just took a horrible touch.
That's when the abuse came.
Yeah. And then he also played in Ali. I can't remember if it was first half or second half, and he took a bad touch.
Maybe.
I know what you're saying. Townsend wasted a lot.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, 2 weeks ago we were digging out Lamella.
Yeah.
Came back into the side after we tried to ship him out on deadline day by all accounts. Come back into the side and has arguably been one of our better players for the last couple of games, and has provided something in both games. I suppose you can call it an assist against Palace. I'm going to call it an assist. I think winning the ball back on the edge of your own box and then
a massive part of the goal. Yeah,
huge. And Townsend last week, and then, you know, Chadley a couple of weeks ago, we were saying how he still provides something. Then he stopped providing something, and people are kind of throwing pelters at him now. So we have no fucking idea. We haven't got a clue. Mm. You're saying that we haven't got a clue about that front three. I think it's nice that we've got these options, because as soon as somebody does drop, last season we didn't have the option to say, well, if you're not playing well, we're going to bring in so-and-so.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, last season, pretty much from March onwards, Eriksen was knackered and doing jack shit. Oh, I said I wasn't going to swear. Eriksen was doing nothing. Mason was knackered. He was doing nothing. But obviously Pochettino saw no future for Paulinho and Stambouli and Capu at Spurs. So he wasn't going to throw him in.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to mix it up. This season, I feel a lot more confident that if Eriksen does go 4 or 5 games and doesn't contribute anything and looks tired and is jiffing out of the game, and same for Mason, it's like, okay, Ali's coming in, Bentaleb's coming in, Pritchard's coming in, and that's the difference between...
We've won 2 games without Eriksen.
Yeah, it's a difference between... Well, he had a big part in the Sunderland win, I think.
I mean, I think we created enough chances without him to have said that we could have won the game. Equally, Palace can probably argue that they could have had a couple of goals, quiet post, and then Lloris made a ridiculous save, which I don't know if you noticed on Match of the Day, but Man United were playing as well on Sunday, so there was absolutely no way that they were allowed to talk about Hugo Lloris making a good save, because David De Gea had been if they talk about De Gea and then Lloris, the universe implodes. It's not allowed.
I didn't see much today, but yeah, it was a cracking save.
It was.
Yeah.
Alright, I think that's probably enough on Carabao and Palace. We have got Arsenal tomorrow in the Capital One Cup. Do we think it's going to be a strong team? Do you think it should be a strong team?
I don't think it's going to be our strong... Well, Vaughan's going to start, isn't he?
He seems to be the cup.
Yeah,
he's
more the Capital One cup.
Yeah,
you see that seems to be his competition until we get to the final, and then he's.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks, Mikhail. Which we will.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was up to me, if I was Spurs boss, I would be playing the best 11 I possibly could because I want to smash him.
Yeah.
And really.
Well, they've got a couple of people out.
Yeah, I always want to smash them. If it's up to me, this is a big chance. We know from last year, if you get a half decent draw, I mean we've got a hard game, but you can easily sort of cruise your way to the final.
Yeah,
it's a big competition. The final last year was unbelievable. Even if we didn't win it. I want to win the cup and I want to smash Arsenal, so I would be going full strength, but I suspect Pochettino will. I could see something like Vorm in goal, Trippier right back,
yeah.
Rose left back, maybe the two Belgians centre half. We haven't got a lot of choice at defensive midfield, have we? It's sort of Dyer and Ali.
I would play Dyer regardless, yeah.
Well, I don't think there's anyone else because Dembele's not fit, Mason's not fit.
Yeah, true.
And then I can see it's got to be Kane, then I can see maybe the rotation coming at fullback and in the front, those attacking three.
Ndjai?
Yeah, I could see Ndjai.
I would probably go with Ndjai. I don't know about Eriksen, I don't think he's quite fully fit yet, is he? But.
He could presumably do with some minutes, though, Eriksen.
Maybe give him the first or last 45, first or second half, rather. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
I could see maybe Ndjai. I feel like Son would be right. I don't know. I think it's going to be a mixed bag.
Well, Son needs minutes as much as anyone else. You know, for however well he started, I don't think there's any point in leaving him out and then playing him at City. You know, it's if nothing else, it's going to be a good experience for him to learn exactly what the North London Derby is about. And yeah. I'd love him to be another Van der Vaart. You know, Van der Vaart was just an arsehole, wasn't he? I can't not watch videos of him against Arsenal because it depresses me, but just that shush thing he does to him. And at the Emirates, it's really calm and just very sort of calculated and stares into
it. Chadley tried to replicate that last year.
Yeah, got books. Yeah, it's so Chadley, isn't it? But then that one in the free-all when Van der Vaart chests it down and then right foots it across.
Yeah.
And it goes in and he just goes ballistic at him. He runs straight to him and he's like, he's doing the shush thing. But he's just like throwing imaginary things
at him. When he equalises from the penalty spot at the Emirates.
Yes. That's when he does the first, but that's the one where he's very, very measured.
Okay, I was thinking he was a bit more fired up.
He was when he got to the Spurs fans, okay. But then when he runs past him, he just does little taps on the finger. But when the free all, he just goes.
This is a podcast; you can't gesture.
I'm trying to describe it, but then he does the shush noise or the shush motion.
Yeah,
he just goes incredible. Yeah.
Who's our Van der Vaart now? Dyer. Yeah, I was going to say Dyer. Who's the person who wants the North London Derby more than anything else? I feel like Mason loves it. Bentaleb loves it. It's the homegrown guys, isn't it? That's the intangible.
Well, that's a good
one of our own factor, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good.
They love it. Mason's had great games against Arsenal last season.
Yeah, he did.
Bentaleb as well. Yeah. Kane, obviously.
I think Lamella as well. I think Lamella feels it if he does well in that game. You know, it matters what else he does, but if he does well in that game, as he did in the home game last season, I thought, didn't do much, but he worked very, very hard for when he was out on the right. He loved it.
The 2-1.
He was really good. And even actually in the away game, he was all right. But I'd maybe even start Lamella and leave him out against City.
Well, the thing is, Lamella's, well, we've spoken about him so much already, but he does seem to be such a confidence guy.
Yeah.
And his confidence must be up now, because he's scored a goal, he's got a kind of assist, and he had two good games.
He applauded off.
Yeah, so
keep it up.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against seeing him start.
No, absolutely. Yeah, he's been given, for whatever reason, this. It's a second chance. He's came as close as he's come to leaving. A matter of 2 or 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I would as well. And like I say, stick Kane in. And Jai is an interesting one because when he came on against Palace, he did a lot of running. He didn't do much, but he looked big. He looks like a balloon with legs. I didn't realise how big he looks. I mean, I might have just been.
Isn't he supposed to be pacey?
He's very pacey. Well, yeah, but he just looked big. I don't know what it was. He just looked very broad. I might have just been. I don't know. But there was an incident where the keeper, Palace's keeper, was kicking it out. Like, it had been passed back to him, and then Jai hadn't put any pressure on him. And the next time it happened, Poch was, like, pelting him, like, really just going close the keeper. And within one or two times, he was doing it every single time. Every time the goalkeeper got the ball, he was pushing it. So I just think...
So he can follow instructions.
Yeah, I just feel like it's the sort of thing that if you're reacting to a manager... You know, he doesn't seem like a big-time Charlie or anything like that. I don't know enough about him, but I just feel like when he came on against
Terabang, his first touch, there was a free kick.
Mm.
And he came on and immediately went over and took the free kick. And it's nothing, it's a small thing, but it was like, okay, this guy's confident.
Taking a bit of responsibility.
Yeah, taking a bit of responsibility. It's not like he sort of jogged into the area and lingered around the back post or whatever. You know, he was happy to do that.
Certainly feels like we've got a squad that's... you know, Ollie said it a couple of weeks ago, saying how would you say we've got a better squad, and I don't think we were quite in a position to say yes or no, because we hadn't seen Son play and we hadn't seen Ndiaye play. Mm. But you know, from Son, obviously he's going to be a good signing, but with Ndiaye, of course, you're not really too sure. But he's had a couple of cameos, he's starting to get into the squad now, and he does offer us an option in a couple of positions. So yeah, you can probably argue that we are stronger now. Dyer's playing well in that position.
The other thing about Palace, well, this is supposed to be the Arsenal preview, isn't it? But the other thing about Palace was that the 11 that started the game, that it was still three or four players short of what you'd say on paper is our strongest 11.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd definitely have Rose in there. I mean, you on last season's form, you'd have Bentaleb somewhere. You might have someone else in attack three. It wasn't like that was Spurs' best team on paper, which is what our best results last season, the Chelsea 5-3 and the Arsenal game. It was like we had our very best 11 out.
Mm.
And now it's harder to call that, which is what we've already said, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think we can legitimately utilise the squad and put a lot of energy into the cup competitions. Basically I just hope we smash them, and I hope that their fans have a really horrible time. They always moan about having to leave White Hart Lane the way that they have to leave White Hart Lane. It apparently puts them in danger, and I've just done air quotes for the sake of it, another gesture.
They get circled by police and then marched down the high street.
Yeah, and that does discount the fact that they're sitting there or going the whole way goading everyone. They're just the pricks at school, aren't they? They prod the bully.
Yeah, I feel like the whole setup's a bit stupid. Like, they should just be allowed to walk down.
There were four lads. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't condone you know, of course, but it's part of it. You know, there's gonna be.
It's panto.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, I was. My mate was driving when in the Arsenal game last season. My mate actually drove in the end, and we were going down Tottenham High Road, and there were five young, probably like 18, 19-year-old Arsenal lads. You know, they all had knives and forks to cut their hair, and they just looked like little upstarts, really. All very North Face
scum.
Stuff. On
subhuman
them.
Scum.
Just subhuman scum. Yeah, and they. They were walking along in amongst hundreds of Spurs fans singing all sorts of like anti-Spurs, whatever. I don't think there's anything particularly malicious or, you know, racist or anything like that. But they were just asking for it, basically. And three of the biggest Spurs lads you've ever seen just walked over to them and just walked with them. Yeah, they didn't do anything, didn't call anything, just walked with them. And it was, I was sitting there thinking, I was just in the passenger seat and I was like, that is fucking intimidating.
Yeah.
They're so intimidating. They didn't do anything. Of course, they were strung very quick. Yeah, but I hope they go again, and I hope they have an equally bad time.
Yeah.
And there's that vine of the guy that fell over in the away end last season as well.
I haven't seen that.
Someone was filming right by the steward line.
Yeah.
And they were like, obviously taking the piss. We just won 2-1, and he gets really annoyed. He suddenly just loses it. And he tries to stand over the seats, and the seat just gives way, and he just like he's down, and everyone obviously If I see people fall over in the street and I go, "Hey!" I've never met him before in my life. But if you've got an Arsenal fan that is sitting 10 yards
from you... A defeated Arsenal fan
who is so annoyed and he just falls over a seat. I'll send it to you. It's an amazing one.
No, please do. I'll tweet it.
Fuck them. I hope we beat them 5-6-0. Listener questions?
We've got a City preview written down here.
We've sort of City previewed, haven't we? Yeah, we don't know who's going to play.
We have mentioned City once.
I think we said that we'd play Lamella tomorrow and leave him out against
that's
City.
That's the City preview. Should we do another pod after Arsenal? We could just do it.
We could try and fit one in.
Maybe overkill.
We'll see. All right. But we don't do previews. We're rubbish at previews.
Well, did you watch City West Ham?
I watched second half. Yeah.
Okay.
And they battered them, but it was a very. They could have lost that 5-2, or you know, in the end they won. Obviously, 2-1.
Well, they're playing Sunderland as we speak, and I imagine they're going to absolutely smash them. Yedlin's making a debut.
Right.
I imagine they're going to have to smash
Thanks.
Him. Yeah. But they're going to smash Sunderland, I assume. But they're on the back of two defeats. I mean, we've got to go for it, haven't we?
At home. Yeah, at home. Evening kickoff. Love an evening kickoff.
Is it even kickoff? Or is
yeah,
it 5:30 on Sunday.
Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
Love an evening kickoff. It's my favourite, especially at this time of year when it's starting to get colder and darker.
That's dark. I'm working during that.
Oh, mate. That's gutting.
I didn't even realise that. I thought we were early kickoff.
No,
I'm sure you're right.
Ooh, no, that's
okay.
Different.
That's a City preview done. Yeah, I'm working. Yeah.
We don't know what time it's on, and we aren't going to.
And Lamella won't start.
Yeah, yeah.
Listener questions.
All right. Do you want to do first one?
Yeah, go on then. Ben Lewis, at Ben Lewis 0795. How great is Kyle Walker?
Great when he's great.
The thing about Kyle Walker this season is he I haven't even noticed him that much. Is that me?
I think that's a very good thing.
Is that me? Is that a good? But he has made a couple of. He made that awful mistake against Everton where he sort of trapped it and then left it and they almost scored.
And it did the same.
But I haven't.
It's very simple.
Yeah. But I feel like it might be a bad thing. I think Kyle Walker used to be one of those fullbacks who would sort of bomb up the flank. He's great on the ball. He's strong. He's quick. He is a good footballer.
And I
used to notice him a lot. And that was sort of a good thing and a bad thing. This season, he's almost slipped off my radar.
I think that's fair enough. But he's playing his way back into fitness and form. And I think that is quite a difficult thing to do in the sort of position that he's playing.
Mm.
I don't think he's being gung-ho, put it that way. I think he's playing as safe as possible. He still looks like he does everything to... what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, all he does is he picks up the ball and he looks like someone that's ready to attack someone. He's got no one in front of him. And he'll have
predatory.
The ball. He does. He's like hunched and stuff. And he looks as if he's about to start sprinting, which is fine. But then he passes it inside. And I just think, that's why you keep getting hurt. Like, everything you do is 110%, which is fine and good. It's what you want from your players. But he seems like he's a bit overkill sometimes. So it might be it. But, you know, I think he's been all right.
And I mean, he's got competition now. And he's gone on record saying that Trippier being at the club has made him work harder.
Yeah.
But Trippier had quite a mixed debut against Carabag. I mean, what did you think of him when you
were there? Well, in the same way you said he didn't really notice Walker, I didn't really notice Trippier.
I mean,
Trippier.
He gave away the penalty. He put in a few crosses.
Well, this is the thing. It was all very well, you know, we looked at the lineup and everyone said, oh, it's good to get Trippier a run out. And you thought, well, the only person that we've got in the squad that he can be aiming for with his good crosses is probably Kane, not on the pitch. So it seemed a bit of a hide into nothing for him. I mean, he gave away the penalty, but I think anyone would have given away the penalty. I think the guy shielded the ball really well and he just went down, really. Yeah, it's a bit over-exuberant, maybe, from Trippier, but I think he's a good... I think he's an alright player. He's certainly a backup. I think we all knew he was a backup. Even Trippier knows that he's the backup. But
yeah, and I mean, what happened... The penalty... It came Well, I feel like it came from the fact that we had two debutants at the back.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm being kind there, but, you know, it was sort of the same at Sunderland a few weeks ago. It was like, Spurs didn't play that well, we were a bit disjointed. And I think on the pod after the game, we were a little bit, maybe a little bit harsh when I listened back. And you looked at the Spurs lineup and it was like, there was a lot of newness in that side. And the fact is, we got a clean sheet, we got a goal, and we ground out a result. And it was kind of the same with Carabag. Like, they're not as bad as people made out.
Just about
the
same.
We had two debutants in defence. We had quite an experimental sort of front six.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure how I got onto that, but
Walker, Trippier.
Yeah, Walker's great, basically.
Yeah, he's fine.
Fun. M Worthy at Not So Worthy. Who's better, Nabil Bentaleb or Dele Alli?
Oh, fuck.
That's horrible. I think that ties in with what we asked earlier about would they play in the same, like, double pivot, things like that. I think they're very similar, which is actually maybe why he's asking the question.
It wouldn't be a huge surprise if beginning of next season or later on this season that they were the deep line two.
Yeah.
I mean, that does feel like it's got a little bit of everything, if maybe lacking a little bit in defensive protection.
Well, yeah, maybe. But then,
depends if you're Les Ferdinand, you don't believe in defensive midfield, does it?
Yeah.
Obviously,
God. He actually said it, didn't he? He actually said it.
And this was a man who was appointed to run the youth team when AVB was manager.
Yeah.
Who was playing Sandro every week. It was like, what is going on?
And now he's a director of football at QPR. I mean, more for you. Do you know what I mean? Move on.
Stupid man.
The whitest walker at Furious Piles. now we've won a couple of games, what are the fans going to do about the possibility of having to be positive?
Very snarky.
No, I
sort of know why. I think I don't think there was much negativity around. Nobody likes losing games or drawing games, particularly from winning positions or when you should have won, like against Everton. But I don't think there was that much negativity. There was negativity about certain players, I think, like Lamella. But I'm going to change that question to my answer, if you like. I don't think it's to do with the club or the team, specifically about players like Lamella. We might have to start being a bit positive about Lamella because he seems to be playing his way into something towards at least sort of 7 out of 10 games, which is, at the moment, we should be grabbing that with both hands because we weren't getting anywhere near that, not consistently enough. So, I think, fans are fans. We're not any different to any other club.
One thing we all do, be it on Twitter or be it sort of in the pub with our mates, it's very easy to be kind of reasonable and considered sort of between match days. So I'll be on Twitter or whatever, we'll be having a pint and I'll say, like, you know what, it's going to take Spurs a few weeks to click because we've signed Son late in the day and then Jai's just come in and Ali's not bedded in yet. And we say all this stuff and we're very reasonable and considered and it's great and we feel like geniuses. And then come match day, you're watching us toil at Stadium of Light against the worst team in the league. And we're not putting any passes together and they're hitting the post, we're not creating. And it's even easier to get on Twitter or get on WhatsApp or whatever and be like, this is awful, this is terrible. And we all do it. We just forget the fact that we were very reasonable a few days before. And I think what I've been trying to do this season is sort of remember those states of kind of clarity and reason. When you do say to us, you know, everyone was saying the day before transfer deadline, the moments after transfer deadline, rather, you know, Pochettino's been had here. He's not got the tools to do his job. obviously we've all got over that, but that hasn't changed. He still hasn't got a second striker.
Yeah.
So all I'd say to that question is it is easy to be negative in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the match, but just remember what you thought sort of midweek, basically.
Yeah.
Which is that there are mitigating factors.
Yeah, and even just look at the bare facts. We've got a young team that we can get behind, which we haven't had in arguably since either the early days of Harry or certainly Yol. Yol had a young British-centric team.
British.
That's about it, really. Phil at Single Malt Suds. Any particular rituals, poor sign or otherwise, or superstitions you've had or still have relating to Spurs? Any superstitions before
no,
or after
none
games?
At all.
The only thing I used to do, my season ticket was in 2009, 2010, my first season ticket year, so Harry's first year at Fulham. We used to go to the pizza shop that was opposite the Olive Branch on Park Lane before nearly every game. Wouldn't necessarily eat anything, but you'd go and just someone would basically in the crowd. They had like you could get a whole cow on a pizza. Like every part of the cow would be represented on a pizza. It had like it was like beef.
Welcome to Tottenham.
Oh, it was awful.
I haven't got any at all, but a guy who I used to go with to Spurs and still do sometimes go with, he always gets a burger from the same van, which is on the corner of the Shelf and Park Lane. You know, when you only walk, that's where I go. Yeah,
towards Northumberland Park.
Yeah, you walk towards Northumberland Park, exactly. It's the first van, as you're walking from Northumberland Park.
Yeah, good
van. He always gets a burger there.
Good van.
But I've been to games with him and we've got humbled, so I'm not sure why he keeps doing it.
It happened once. My mate, who I'm actually going tomorrow with, I went to the Danny Rose Arsenal game, the Danny Rose volley game, what we spoke about last week actually. And on the way there, obviously we just got spanked, well, we just got beaten by Portsmouth and things like that, and he got tomato sauce on his shoe and he was like, "It's red on my shoe." And I was like, okay.
He's got red on him.
He's got red on him. And he went, "Oh, it's on my shoe. It's like I'm kicking red." And I went, "What are you trying to say to me?"
How many pints had he had at this point?
I don't know, 4.
Okay.
Not that many. But he was convinced that it was a sign. And, well, we went on and won. So, you know, maybe there's something in it.
Tell him to do it tomorrow.
I will do. I'll tell him to bring the ketchup.
All right, Phil at Single Malt Suds.
That's the one we just
did. Oh, we just did that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd give Phil another shout out. Brett Nurse. It's the same fucking people asking questions.
Yeah, that's fine. We got a call.
We got a call.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, friends. at BR Nurse.
I was wondering when it. Well,
Cameron allegedly put his willy in a dead pig's mouth. What? How encouraged are you by Eric Lamella's games this week?
Any
have
reason?
Have you changed?
No, that was his genuine question.
I thought there was one about which animal. I thought it was going to be which
there
animal.
There was that. Yeah,
was that
I
where
can't
you didn't
remember who asked that. And no, that was Richie Revel. I'm not answering that.
All right, I honestly think we've done Lamella.
We have. But I do agree. Cameron did allegedly put his willy in a dead pig's mouth.
Oh, it's the best! It's the best
it's
thing.
The greatest thing that's happened to the internet since.
the most worrying, the most troubling thing about it is how no one's surprised. Do you know what I mean? Like,
or more that
I was at home yesterday, my parents rather, which is why I missed the pod, and I just my parents hadn't seen it, so I was like, "Oh, Mum, like Cameron put his dick in the pig's mouth." And she was like, "What?" It's like, can you explain to me? I was like, "Okay, so apparently it was one of the initiation ceremonies of one of these sort of dining clubs he was at in Oxford." And she sort of thought that she had already heard that. She's like, "Oh yeah, that yes. I knew about that." And I was like, "No, you didn't know that. It's been revealed by the Daily Mail this morning. You definitely didn't know about it."
They do, though, don't they? This is the thing. It's like you say, no one was sitting there going, "Wait, this is too much to comprehend." It was more,
It was more just like, okay, that probably did happen. Let's just
happen. Let's see how far we can take this to ruin his life.
And it's just so bizarre, isn't it? It's the weirdest thing.
Shout out to Bay of Pigs as a hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag Bay of Pigs. And also shout out to Tim Abel. I think he's at his Tim Abel 6, and he come up with. I mean, he's great anyway. I think he does. He always does a lot of Photoshop, and he makes arseholes out of nearly everyone on Twitter. If he's got your face, then he will make something bad out of it and tweet it to you. In a fun way, like, yeah.
Did he do some beard stuff? Did he?
Yeah, he did. He put my face on a dog. Oh, it was very strange. But he did a tweet that was Cameron on. You know that very serious picture of Cameron on the phone that did the rounds a couple of years ago.
Oh, that was brilliant, and everyone got involved.
Yeah,
and Patrick Stewart did one with baby wipes.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. He got that picture, and then the caption was "They know." And the other picture was just Peppa Pig with a very shocked face on the phone. And it made it onto like all of the Roundup news things, like BuzzFeed and all of that. Yeah, it was a solid 5K retweet.
You know when Corbyn got in, that Cameron and the Tories immediately adopted this party line, which is that Labour's now a threat to your family security. I saw one. It's just Peppa Pig and his whole family. It just said, "Cameron's now a threat to your family security."
Someone said yesterday, and this is my favourite part of the whole thing.
And Diego Costa went to Peppa Pig World yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah, he fucking went there with his daughter yesterday. In the mail, I've got pictures of Costa at Peppa Pig World.
Wow,
just perfect timing.
Yeah, perfect timing. He's a villain of peace at home as well. My favourite thing about this is that it doesn't matter what happens from now, and it will blow over because it won't be on Twitter for we've got a very short show.
I feel like by the time this pod's out, it'll already
be. No, honestly, man. Whenever he does a public thing. Somebody's going to shout pig fucker at him. So the legacy will go on for so long, and I can't speak highly enough of it.
That's the thing, that apparently, you know Hunter S. Thompson's book,
yeah.
He did Fear and Loathing on the campaign trail, when
yeah.
he was like a political journalist, and he followed around American politicians, and he was on Lyndon B. Johnson's campaign trail before he was president, when he was like running for senator or whatever it was, and he apparently came up with his very concept, which is that start a rumour that the opposition leader fucks pigs.
Yeah,
and
he's
then,
forced
then,
to
then the whole line was like his political aide said to him, according to Hunter S. Thompson, "Oh, we can't say he's a pig fucker, no one's going to believe that." And you said, "No, but we just want the son of a bitch to deny it."
Yeah.
So it's either like Cameron comes out and denies he did this, which would be brilliant,
yeah.
or he says nothing and we all just think he's a pig fucker. So he's brilliant, he's completely screwed. Which
After 2 weeks of Corbyn just being thrown under the bus for not having a tie done up,
come on, you didn't watch the rugby, mate.
Sing
a song.
That's very true.
For fuck's sake.
All of disgusting things that he did, but all he had to do was ride that little wave, and now 2 weeks later, pig fucker Cameron.
We've got to talk about Spurs again.
Let's do Alan's question really quickly, and then we move on to Rich Arrowsmith. Alan
at Hotspur 423. Great follow on Twitter.
Yeah, good
follow
writer as well. We'll do this really quickly. Rank your priorities in terms of the league, FA Cup, Capital One Cup, and Europa League.
Oh, really good question. Okay.
Me.
Yeah, go on.
Capital One Cup, most winnable. Europa, be amazing to win a European competition again. League, FA Cup.
What? I think I'm bottom.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck about it. It's been diluted to fuck. And
okay,
it's
I'm going
to
go Europa League, top. Capital One, FA Cup, league. Because we're not going to finish top four, so let's win a trophy.
That's fair. But
we're not going to finish in top four.
No, that's fair. Still like to finish top six, though.
Yeah, well, I would rather win any of those cups than finish 16th.
Okay,
which we won't, because we're not.
Yeah,
back.
True.
Anyway, let's do Rich's. Rich Arrowsmith at Rich Arrowsmith. You're hosting a dinner party, but you can only invite five former or current players or managers. Who gets an invite?
we should have to agree on this.
Oh, I haven't thought, but I saw this question, but I haven't done anything.
I haven't.
Have you done some thinking?
Well, I'm thinking of the big people involved in Tottenham, or the big, you know, the big names.
Okay.
Martignol.
I was going to say Martignol.
He has to be there. He'd bring the spin roast, wouldn't he?
If only because of that story that Tony, the pub landlord, told us before we went on air. And went on air.
Went on air.
Before we started recording on our iPad.
Yeah.
getting a bit too big for my boots. Apparently, at Highbury, there's a little shed where they keep the lawnmower and the paint to do the grass by the pitch. And before Martignol's first North London derby at Highbury.
The one with Kane's goal when he told him to play on.
Play on! Play on! So apparently before that game, they thought that the little shed was on fire. There was smoke coming out of it, and they went to investigate, and it was Martignol having a fag sitting on a lawnmower. I don't know how good a source Tony is, but I believe it.
I believe it as well. He's got to be in there, because if any trouble kicks off as well, Martignol sorts it.
Yeah, Wenger comes knocking.
Well,
unwantedly.
Exactly, so anyone Martignol comes knocking, you know, you don't want some vagrants coming in. Martignol, Gazza?
Too loose, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm being a bit proper, but I like it's a bit more civilised.
Depends what sort of dinner party I'm hosting, I suppose, doesn't it?
I mean, I love Gazza. I really do love him. Everyone loves Gazza, but I feel like he wouldn't be able to drink.
Yeah.
And it might... It might tip him. Yeah, it might be difficult to...
God bless Gazza.
Yeah.
He seems to be doing all right at the moment.
No, seems to be doing all right. I mean, he's quite a weird follow on Twitter, if you don't...
Yeah. I don't know how much of it is...
It's
kind of.
I mean, it's definitely genuine. Him because it's odd.
Yeah. But it's good odd.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't have him any other way.
No.
So wouldn't have Ledley King. Wouldn't have.
No, I wouldn't have Ledley King as much as I want to be in his presence at all times.
Did you say he's boring? Not boring, but I can't imagine him being dinner party material.
No. I mean, I read his autobiography and he doesn't dish any dirt, so.
No.
I want someone to dish the dirt.
Ari would be good.
Yeah, but he just. So much of it might be bullshit. He's such a liar.
He would bring a chicken that was really small and then be like, yeah, I tried to get a bigger one, but we couldn't quite do the deal in time and all that bollocks, wouldn't they? So we've got one. At the moment, we've just got Martignol on his own around the table.
Can we just have dinner with Martignol?
Yeah, okay. No, let's try and... Should we do just... Oh, this is hard.
This is too hard.
We need like a whole blog section. We've got like 2 minutes that we can do this. Martignol. David Pleat would be a really, really odd guess.
He'd bring a prosy.
And he'd pronounce her name wrong as well. Michael Dawson, I bet he'd bring his own special
brew
as well.
Yeah, go on, Dawson. Yeah, Yol and Dawes. I'm not sure about Pleat.
Yol,
Dawson. Davids?
Yeah, Edgar Davids would be quality. Yeah, that's a good one.
Because he's got some stories to tell.
Berbatov, bring the good wine.
And the cigars.
He'd be good for after dinner, definitely.
Yeah.
So we've got Yol, Davids,
Dawson.
Michael Dawson, and the one that you just said.
I said Davids.
Berbatov.
This is a weird.
So we need one more.
We need to think further back. These are all quite recent players.
Ginola? He'd be like Berbatov, wouldn't he?
I prefer Ginola to Berbatov, actually.
Alright, gins. We'll have gins instead of Berba.
Bring good cheese as well.
Yeah, that would. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Bulgaria doesn't have much, does it?
No. No, not really. One more. We've got to think of one more.
I'm really struggling with this.
Hoddle?
No.
Bit boring.
Well, a bit of Sky Sports nowadays, isn't he?
Yeah, a bit.
I mean, again, I love him, but we don't want Eileen Jewellery or someone turning up.
That's true.
In lieu.
We've got about 30 seconds to think of a fifth guest. This is a great end to the podcast, by the way. Just everyone listening to us trying to think of interesting ex-players.
Van der Vaart.
Yeah, we'll have Van der Vaart.
They've only got three Dutch people, they're just going to talk in Dutch all night.
That's fine.
Okay, so they have to talk in English.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of
it's food. A really weird, strict dinner party that we've got.
You can't talk David, Martin, Rafa.
You've got nice
English,
nice only. Cheese, but yeah, you've got it only in English.
I think we can. I might try and put together something on the website.
Nice.
That's better than that because we struggled a bit there. Yeah. It's a good question though.
Right, cool. Guys, thank you very much for listening. We've got Arsenal tomorrow. We've got City on Saturday. We might put together a podcast for City, but I doubt we will. We'll do next Monday and we'll review both games. Yeah, hopefully good. Be another couple of wins, advance in the Capital One Cup and get a third win in a row in the league. That'd be nice. Thank you very much for joining us. This has been the Tottenham Way. Come on, you Spurs.